Hello, everyone. Welcome back to What the Flight Radio, a podcast for in-flight crew, frequent flyers, and anyone that gives a about aviation and travel. Happy What the Flight Wednesdays, you guys. We are on episode 3 already, and it is a fun one because we are talking about everything that makes being a flight attendant the best job in the world. The layovers, the travel perks. It's a story time episode. And I actually thought that I didn't have enough quote unquote meat to fill this episode up. But after I finished recording, it ended up being so long. It was extremely long. So what I've decided to do is split this episode in two. So today will be episode 3, part 1 of my most memorable flight attendant layovers. And next week we'll have episode 4, part 2 of my most memorable layovers. Let's dive into this episode. So much for joining me for episode 3. I'm your host, Jess V. Welcome to the show if you're new here. Yes, fam, that's right. That's right. We are having a fun episode today, and I'm so excited for everyone that is tuning in. As a reminder, this podcast is proudly brought to you in part by Living by the F Word. If you're an F Word lover and you enjoy flying, festivals, fashion, fine art, food, fitness, and you live your life with a fulfill it yourself mentality, then you are in the right place. Please consider being my friend on social media. You can find me at What the Flight Radio or at Living by the F Word. Once again, that's at WT Flight Radio on all social networks and on Living by the F Word, which is my brand account. It varies throughout the social media platforms, but if you look up Living by the F Word, you will find me. I hope you're all having a great week so far. I'm really excited for today's episode because we're going to be talking about some of my most memorable flight attendant layovers. Yes, we are going to be doing a little bit of a story time, you guys. Everyone that is subscribed to my YouTube channel knows how much I love story times. I love to talk. I love to tell stories. So grab a cocktail, grab a snack, sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Now, I want to discuss this particular topic, for several reasons, and I will get to that in a little bit. But of course, before this episode takes flight, it's extremely important that you receive a safety briefing about the rules and regulations of this podcast. Tell me if you guys are getting sick of this, by the way. Like, should I not have this in every episode? But I love it. I'm such a cheese ball. I'm literally such a corny person. So I absolutely love it. But as a reminder, please fasten your seatbelts in case we hit unexpected turbulence. And I mean, you know, topics, not really turbulence on the podcast here. After all, we are flying freely around the World Wide Web from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. So while it's very unlikely that we hit turbulent air, it's absolutely possible that we might. So for your safety and the safety of all listeners, please ensure that you check your attitude with your oversized luggage. Now, with all that being said, in all seriousness, today's episode is so much fun. I don't think that we will be leaving smooth air. I think we're going to be good. Once again, thank you so much for joining me today. It really does mean so much to me that you are taking the time out of your day to tune into my radio show. And yeah, I'm absolutely loving your feedback and loving having you all here. Truly grateful, really happy that this project is finally out there and I get to share this topic with you guys. So we have a wheels up time in just a few minutes, but before we take off, I would like to ask that if you enjoy today's episode, please consider sharing it with your friends. Please get the word out there on your stories on Instagram, tweet it up, make sure you tag me so that I could reshare it. Please give it a rating and review on Apple Podcasts if you are feeling extra generous. I would absolutely love that. I would greatly appreciate it. Also, if you're flight crew, you know the drill. Share this episode like you would share drama on the jump seat. Shout out to all my crew members out there. You know what to do. Word of mouth will really help me out, and your support is truly appreciated. And a special shout out to everyone that really has reached out to me regarding the first couple episodes, that has given me some feedback, that has told me they're really excited for me in this project. It really helps me out. It really helps me understand that I'm doing a good job. So thank you so much for that feedback. And don't forget, sharing means caring. So if you're sharing it with your friends and they're giving you feedback, let me know. I would love to hear from you guys. Also, you could also write any feedback into radio@livingbythefword.com. And yeah, you guys are so super dope for doing all that. So thank you. And lastly, before we dive in to the story time of this amazing episode, I want to give you this week's aviation lingo. So this is a segment where I am highlighting a word within the aviation industry, maybe a word or a phrase for anyone that is not within the industry that is curious and, you know, wants to learn some new things. And hopefully this segment will help you out, especially if I'm talking about one of these things in future episodes or past episodes, you kind of will get the feel or the gist for what I'm talking about. Also, if you're flight crew and you have a suggestion for this segment, as far as like a word, maybe a word when you first started in the industry that you didn't really understand what it meant, or you think would be useful for non-flight crew or non-aviation people to know, please feel free to send in your suggestions. Or if you are a frequent flyer and you hear a word or something over the PA that you're not used to, yeah, feel free to shoot me a message as well. You could always DM me on Instagram at WTFlightRadio, or you can email me at radio@livingbythefword.com for suggestions for this segment. All right, so today's lingo is per diem. So I thought this term would be fitting with today's episode because, well, we are talking about layovers and we are talking about how the job works a little bit. So per diem is essentially an allowance or an amount of money that the company will give you to cover some expenses when you're away from base. Now, don't get too excited. If you're not in the industry, the hourly is like not too much at all, because per diem really works as a rate. So basically the company you work for, they are going to set up a fixed rate for all the employees to get paid an hourly, you know, per diem for their layover. So this is one thing that is pretty much the same across the board for the entire work group, whereas our hourly rate, it does change depending on your years of service that you have with the company. So the more years of service that you have, the more hourly rate and money you have. So yeah, that does change as you grow with the company, which is nice, but the per diem is the same across the board. So yeah, just to clarify, per diem is like not where the bulk of our paycheck comes from. As you could tell, the bulk comes from how many years of service you have and how much you fly. That is how your checks will differ. But if you do have a longer layover, the per diem can add up in your paycheck, and it is pretty cool getting to lay poolside or check out a city or have, you know, all the experiences I'm about to tell you about and get paid to do it. So yeah, just a fun fact that per diem is a Latin phrase and that translates to by the day. So it totally makes sense where that came from. Hope you enjoyed this week's aviation lingo segment. It's Wheels Up time. Let's get into this episode. All right, so I had mentioned that there were several reasons why I wanted to talk about this topic of my most memorable flight attendant layovers. So the first reason was last summer, after COVID affected my lifestyle and pretty much grounded me from my career or grounded me from my hobbies, because I love to travel to festivals and travel in my free time as well. I basically was just grounded in life, weren't we all during COVID? But yeah, I decided to do a Get to Know Me series for my subscribers on my YouTube channel. And within that series, I talked about each F word in my brand and why it's important to me. So for the Flying is My F Word video, I, of course, talked about and answered questions regarding travel in my career. And some of those questions were, do I fly domestically or internationally? And the answer for that is both. But for most of my career, I was mostly domestic based. How many states have I been to the United States? I am from the United States. I am based in the United States. So if anyone is listening from another country, This is kind of important to me because I feel like not too many Americans, you know, really leave their own state as it is. So I have been to 39 out of 50 states. I'm pretty proud about that. And it wouldn't have been possible without my company. I do work for a major U.S. airline, and I'm really grateful to have had these domestic layover experiences within my company. And if you happen to be tuning in from New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kentucky, or West Virginia, or if you have any suggestions as to what cities or what to do in those states, those are the ones that I have not traveled to as of yet. So let me know what I should be checking out there. Once again, feel free to DM me on Instagram at WT Flight Radio or at Living by the F Word. All right. I also answered other questions within that Get to Know Me video, like what do you love about your job? What dislikes do you have with your job? And I'll definitely have to do a separate episode with the pros and cons of being a flight attendant. That could just be like a whole separate episode, if I'm being completely honest. And it's also a question people ask a lot. I also had questions like, what is my dream vacation? What is my most favorite city that I've visited? What is my favorite city overall in general? What's the nicest hotel I've stayed at on a layover? What are your most memorable layovers? So there were so many more questions in that video in the entire series that I answered. So feel free to check that video out on my YouTube channel. You could visit youtube.com/livingbythefword. It was from the Get to Know Me series, episode 2, which is titled Flying, Flight Attendant Life, and Female Solo Travel. So when I recorded that video, this is what I kind of realized, which is what brings us here to this podcast. I've kind of realized that I could probably do an entire story time video all by itself talking about my most memorable layovers. Like, I literally had to cut myself off in this video because I was just talking for so long and I was like, oh, and that was a memorable layover. And this was a memorable, like, I didn't want to leave anything out. And so it was just going on and on. And I was like, I need to just do a whole separate video of my most memorable layovers. But I mean, I now have this podcast. So that's what we're doing here in this episode, which I'm really grateful to have this platform where I can kind of just talk and tell stories. You know what I mean? But yeah, that video was really great. I did talk about how COVID affected my job. I have footage of the airports during peak COVID in that video as well. So feel free to check it out. It was really super eerie. If you listened to episode 2 last week, I did kind of touch upon that, how creepy it was to be in the airports during peak COVID. But yeah, anyways, that was really the main reason for this episode concept, because with the launch of this podcast, I just thought, yeah, this is a perfect fit. This is going to be a great episode. And also, hello, this is the best part of having this career, is having memorable layovers. So this is why so many people want to become flight attendants, become pilots, become someone in the aviation industry so that you could have these memorable layovers. So that leads into my second reason for wanting to do this topic, which is for those of you that are not in the aviation industry, I feel like there are always a lot of questions about how our schedule works or how do layovers work or what type of crew life perks do you get. So before I get into the layover stories, I'll talk a little bit about all that. But in all honesty, I probably will have to do a dedicated show with common questions you might have about crew life and our career. I know it seems very repetitive, but I just really want to make a point that you can reach out to me with any suggestions, questions, or comments at radio@livingbythefword.com. So if you have any flight attendant life questions, feel free to reach out there. It's how I will get some more idea concepts for this radio show. Okay, so how do trips and layovers work? A brief answer is, depending on the airline that you work for, you can have a single day trip or a multi-day trip. And on these multi-day trips, you can basically have a layover that is just for rest, just so you can get what's called legal rest so that you could operate a flight the next morning. Or in other cases, you might have a really nice long layover somewhere to enjoy. And so the company does put you up in a hotel. So that is another perk that we have as airline crew. We do not pay for our hotels, and everyone in the crew gets their own room. So I know it might seem a little silly to say that, but these are some questions I've gotten in the past before. So just to clarify, for those of you that don't know, yes, we all get our own rooms. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, when I came out of training, I didn't know that we all got our own rooms, because when I was in training, we shared a room with a roommate that we were in training with. So like, I literally had no idea how any of it worked. So it was really funny. Like the first trip, they were like, no, yeah, we all have our own rooms. I was like, oh, duh. Like I should have known that, you know, but like I was completely clueless when I came into this industry. Like I really didn't know what the job really was truly about. It was new to me, and I went straight to mainline. So I was very lucky and fortunate for this opportunity. But yeah, there were some things that I had to learn, you know what I mean? But yeah, so basically the hotels do vary, and each airline is different as far as like where they put you up. Like most of the airlines have agreements with major hotel brands, and depending on the airline or how long your layover is will depend on if you're at an airport hotel or if you're at a downtown hotel. And in some cities, it's still possible to check things out, even if you're at like an airport hotel. Basically, you could still, you know, some of these small town cities in the USA, you could still take an Uber, take a taxi cab, and, you know, get around, even if you're at an airport hotel. But just kind of depends on the type of person you are, if you want to get out and explore. So yeah, as I mentioned, we also do get paid to be on the layover, which is our per diem rate. And you basically are free from duty during this layover period. And it is super legit. And of course, one of the best parts of this career is having layovers, and being a flight attendant or pilot really opens up a different type of lifestyle that most aren't used to. So you start to have favorite spots that you eat or drink at. You pick some of your favorite items up on your layover, such as coffee or treats that you bring home to your family. Wine, flight attendants are huge on that. They will bring wine home. They will go to doctor's appointments in other countries. They will, you know, get Botox and get laser eye vision stuff done, and like all this stuff on layovers. Like, trust me, there are some stories. We are going to have to get some listener submission in here about, you know, things people do on layovers as flight crew. But yeah, basically you can shop, shop, shop. You sometimes get your favorite stores that you don't have available to you in your own country. So when you go overseas, like you go shopping a lot, and we do get discounts at museums and places of interest within that city. We do get discounted food. We get discounted car rental, discounted hotels. So if we're not on a work trip, of course, free flights do happen on most airlines, or we at least have discounted flights. So it could be like a very enjoyable and rewarding lifestyle. It really is. It's truly really amazing. Like, I wish I did it sooner, but at the same time, I always say that things align how they should. And so if I had become a flight attendant sooner, I don't know if I would have had all my solo travel experiences, which really I think helped me out with this career. I think all my festival and solo travel experiences helped me figure out like how to make this lifestyle work for me, you know, being up different hours, being, you know, on different time schedules and things like that. Yeah. And if you are new here, I did talk about like my aviation story and how I solo traveled to festivals and how I got into solo travel and how I became a flight attendant. So that was episode 1. So yeah, go check that out if you're new here and you're curious. Now, lastly, this is the final reason for this episode topic that I wanted to do this topic, is because I am opening up my email for the first ever listener submissions. Okay, I am so excited because this means I will be telling your most memorable layover stories. So yes, I know that some of you listening, you have some juicy layover stories or favorite trips. So, you know, as I was coming up with this concept of this episode, I thought, well, it's going to be really cool to tell everyone about my most memorable layovers, but what about other people's? So I'm sure there are so many people out there that have had an amazing experience. If you're flight crew, please feel free to email me your most memorable layovers. Tell me why it was your most memorable layover, or, you know, layovers. Why was it important to you, memorable to you? And also feel free to tell me where you're based, how many years of service you have. And if you wish to remain anonymous, of course, if your story is a little juicy, I know the flight attendant stories out there. I even have some myself. I know that they can get juicy. So if you want to remain anonymous, just please mention that in the email. That is not a problem at all. And as far as my frequent flyers or fellow travel addicts out there, also, please feel free to email your stories as well. There are definitely times where you have a long stopover, a long layover. So if you have a memorable layover story, please feel free. My email once again is radio@livingbythefword.com. That was a lot. So we have, now that I've clarified why I wanted to do this episode, 10 memorable layovers that I want to share with you. Of course, this was absolutely so hard to choose my most memorable layovers. It was absolutely so hard to do because I honestly have so many great, amazing experiences on layovers. I've had the pleasure of seeing my friends that have lived abroad on layovers, including my sorority sister, Alexa, if you're listening. I miss you. We've had so many good times when I've gone over to England, where she lives now and has lived since 2008. She's just been out of here. And so I've gotten to see her. I've also seen my friend Mike, who is a groove cruiser that lived in London overseas for a while. I've also enjoyed some of my groove cruise friends' DJ sets in Miami, Fort Lauderdale. You know, I've gotten to party with my friends, like, because I just had a layover on the weekend. I've also seen amazing cities within the United States, as I mentioned. And I've had some of the most bomb food in the South, from Charleston, Savannah, Houston, New Orleans. I've rode beach cruisers on Mission Beach in San Diego. And I've had amazing layovers with my friends in Los Angeles. I have had fresh seafood in Portland, Maine, and Seattle. And I've shopped and thrift shopped and just had some amazing experiences getting festival wear for the festivals and music festivals that I go to because of layovers. And I've hit up tarot shops and bookstores and all these newly built parks and cities, including Gathering Place in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A lot of people like would not think Tulsa would be like a most memorable layover. It's not one of my most, but it is definitely still memorable. So all these honorable mentions, I just like wanted to kind of put it out there to kind of give you an idea of how hard it was to pick these top 10 memorable layovers. But yeah, I mean, I've stayed at resorts in Lihue. I've brought in my mother on vacation. Or with me on a work trip. It's a vacation for her. You know what I mean? I've, been at resorts in Fort Myers and other beachfront locations. And I've met up with so many of my festival friends on layovers, including my buddies in Anchorage. And I've taken my family on trips with me, like I said. So it's just like I could go on and on and on with all these honorable mentions of layovers, but I'm just going to stick to these 10 for the story time, like actually give you a legit story time of these top 10 ones that I will never, ever forget, or, you know, they're always going to be important to me, you know. So I will say that if you're listening to this episode and I don't mention a layover you were on with me that you thought maybe might make this, I am sorry. I doubt it, but like, I doubt you'd be offended. But like, yeah, like it doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't memorable. It's just like, I just had to pick like the top ones, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, if they stand out for specific reasons and you'll find out why. So, yeah, I'm going to be talking about these stories in chronological order, basically. So from the first one, the first early on time in my career through the most recent, just because like, it's not like I had time to like rank these as this was the most memorable. You know what I mean? I just wanted to like kind of share with you why they were so memorable, but it doesn't like necessarily mean that one is more favorable than the other one. They're just in order of how they happened. And another thing I just want to disclose to you, to anyone listening, anyone out there, these are bullet points. So this is going to be a legit story time. I feel like I've said the word legit at least 15 times already. But yeah, these are going to be going off of memories in my brain. I just have the actual trips bullet pointed in front of me. So it's a freestyle episode, you guys. Like, I'm just going to tell my story. So I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be back with the first layover. Okay, so getting into the layovers. Whew, here we go. First up, from 2016, which is one of the first layovers I ever had with my company. It was in Bozeman, Montana. And I have the cities as to where the layover actually occurred, but I may not have actually stayed in that city. So I'll explain what I mean. So basically, at the start of my career, I started in Denver. I was based in Denver. And excuse me for anyone watching on YouTube. I started in Denver and I got this really great trip. It was a 3-day trip. It was a flight from Denver to Bozeman and then layover for 31 hours and then fly back from Bozeman to Denver. The flight, if you're like not familiar with that route, is not long at all. It's about an hour. So very easy flight to work, very easy flight to work back with a nice long layover. So this was really one of the first layovers I ever had with the company. And I was by myself. This particular trip, I was like the extra flight attendant position. So I was all by myself. So it wasn't like I had a crew to go out with. And that's fine with me because, as you know, I absolutely am a huge fan of solo travel. And so I looked up like what to do there, and I realized that Yellowstone National Park is really not that far from there. So I ended up renting a car, and I really wanted a smaller car, but they ended up giving me this giant Escalade, which was like really funny because I requested a car because I'm just not used to driving SUVs or anything like that. And so they gave me this giant Escalade, and I remember when I got on the highway to drive to Yellowstone, which is only like an hour drive or something like that. I remember the speed limit signs out there, because like Montana is such a huge state. Like I'm from New Jersey, so everything's very clustered and small, and like the speed limit's like 50 everywhere, even though we all drive 90 and like honk at you if you're going any less than that. But yeah, this actual speed limits out there were like a max of like 90 and a minimum of 80 or something like crazy like that. And I just remember people were like blowing by me. And I was like in this giant Escalade, like, oh my God, like everyone's going so fast. This is so crazy. But if you've never been to Montana, it is gorgeous. Wow. It was gorgeous. Now, I should mention that this was in January. So I had come on the line in January. And I want to say, actually, this was January or February. I can't remember, but it was the middle of winter. That's like what the main point of me telling you of when it was. So it was very cold. There was beautiful snow-covered mountains. It was just absolutely gorgeous drive. There was rivers, and you would see these homes that were just like set in the middle of nowhere. And like, I just like couldn't even imagine like waking up to what they were seeing every day. It was just unreal. It was so pretty. So I got to Yellowstone and I saw buffalo for the first time. I saw antelope. I saw all these animals that I've never seen ever. And this is something you have to remember. I had traveled a lot before I was a flight attendant. I did a lot of solo travel, but a lot of it was international travel. So I really hadn't seen too much in my own country. And so this trip was just so meaningful to me, seeing things like animals like that, that I would never thought I would see in my life. You know what I mean? And it was just gorgeous. And so a lot of the hot springs, so if you're not familiar, Yellowstone is very well known for their hot springs. A lot of them were frozen over, but it still was so gorgeous. Like there was like this like fog and mist in like a lot of my pictures because of the steam coming off because of how cold it was, and there was icicles everywhere. And I remember I was absolutely freezing because I only had like regular sneakers. I had just moved out to Denver because I was based out there. I literally brought my whole life with me, but I think I forgot snow boots or something or whatever it was. So I literally had just sneakers on and my feet were freezing, but I still had such a great time. And the best part about all this was I just had alone time in nature. I was hiking. I was seeing so many things. And I also was like in two places at once because Yellowstone is in Montana. but it's also in another state, Wyoming. It's in Wyoming and Montana both. That's how big the park is. And so there was like this one point where I had one foot in, I keep wanting to say Oklahoma. Like, what am I saying? There was this one time where like I had my foot in Wyoming and my foot in Montana. So it was like I was in two places at once. But the best part, like the absolute best part of this layover was the Boiling River. So if you don't know what the Boiling River is, it is basically a river within Yellowstone that mixes with parts of the thermal hot springs. And there's like a pocket that basically becomes like a natural hot tub. So in order to get to it, you need to walk through the regular river, which was fucking freezing. I have myself on GoPro, like filming myself, like I was freezing. Like I was in a bathing suit in like below freezing weather. Like it wasn't below freezing because the water was not frozen. Okay. I'm like totally being so exaggerating so much, but it was cold. Okay. Like there was snow on the mountains. It was February or January or whatever it was in the middle of winter. So it was very cold. It was very hard for me to get in there, but I did it. And I walked through to the Boiling River, which is basically the hot tub. And there was other people there. And it was amazing. And so if you're watching on YouTube in the intro of my What the Flight Radio intro, there's a part where you see like the camera come from out of water and you see like a waterfall. That is the Boiling River. And so it's actually in my intro for on my YouTube channel here for the podcast. So absolutely amazing experience. Also just like I said, being so close to buffalo, there was actually like a buffalo laying near the Boiling River. And, you know, luckily like I didn't get hurt or anything because I did leave kind of late. I never felt like I was in harm's way there. Like you just need to, if you do go, just know like you have to give these animals space. Like there's a lot more stories recently where you're seeing people approach animals like grizzlies and buffalo and things like that. And I just don't understand what these people are thinking or doing. You know, you have to be respectful of nature. Otherwise, we're not going to have these opportunities to have these national parks anymore. You know, also don't forget to leave no trace if you decide to go. And yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm so grateful for that experience. There's still so many national parks that I have not been to in this country, even though I feel very well traveled around the United States. And I feel like I've been to a lot of states. I really have not been to that many national parks. And that is one of them. And it is so memorable for me. Hey everyone, just taking a quick break to let you know, this is editing Jess, by the way, and I have run into some audio issues again. I'm doing my best to edit the episode the best to my ability and keep the podcast mic in, but apparently the other day when I recorded a bunch of episodes, I didn't realize that I didn't set up the sample rate correctly. Don't worry about it if you don't know what that means, but basically the audio got messed up, so I'm doing my best to edit this out the best I can. Thanks so much for understanding. Up next, we have a layover in Munich, Germany. Now, this was a really interesting trip that I got because I actually was on reserve and I got this trip assigned to me. This also was a trip that was in 2016. So this was a trip that was like when I was fresh, completely fresh. I think that this one was in February and the one I just talked about was in January. But they were both in the winter. So they were both very close, you know, in time frame, basically. But this one took place when I got based on the East Coast. So I was only based in Denver for a very short amount of time. And then I transferred back home. And so I was based on the East Coast near New York City. And so I got this Munich, Germany trip, which actually was a language speaker trip. So basically, like the airline I work for, they have language speakers. But if they don't have a language speaker reserved to fill that position, they will just fill that position with any reserve. And that's what happened. And this layover
was so long.
It was something like a 2-day layover or something like that. It was like 48 hours, I want to say, or it was something really longer than the normal 24 hours we usually get. And I was with a really great crew, and we went to the Ludwig Castle. And so if you don't know the Ludwig Castle, I'm almost positive you have seen it on Pinterest or Instagram or somewhere, because this is the castle that everyone says Walt Disney was inspired by to create Cinderella's castle. And let me tell you guys, this place was breathtaking. And it looks even more breathtaking in the fall or the spring, because behind the castle, so this castle, first of all, is like, it's not in Munich, by the way. It's about a 2-hour train ride from Munich. But this castle is like on top of a mountain, this mountain surrounded by beautiful evergreens. And behind the castle is a bridge that you normally can walk across, and you can take pictures and you kind of can see the castle from a distance, like that basically is just like on this cliff. Like it's on a mountain on a cliff, basically. So since we were there in the middle of winter, we couldn't walk that bridge because it was closed, but it still was so amazing. There was snow everywhere. I actually feel like I just actually posted like a throwback photo of this on my Instagram. So you could go check that out on my personal Instagram at living by the dot F word on Instagram. But yeah, I was luckily a part of this great crew. Two of these crew members decided that they were going to go, and they invited me, and I'm so happy I went. We woke up early. We took the train out there, which was really nice to just be on this like countryside train. This was after the first night where we went out and, you know, got beer and sausages and, you know, all that good stuff. Had like a really good crew. But the two that I went with, it was nice that they invited me. I was so excited that they were going there. Also, one of them was a German speaker, so really helped out because, like, you know, she knew where to go. She had it under control. And yeah. And so we took that train out there, and all these, I was freezing for this layover too. Don't ask me why. Like, I need to start bringing winter boots and heavier clothing, but it's so hard to pack when you're on reserve, because at the time I was on reserve. And yeah, it's very hard to gauge where you might be sent, because you might get sent to, I don't know, Florida, and it's still warm down there for winter. So you kind of have to like pack everything. But anyways, we got there. I was freezing, but it was so worth it. So you could either take horse carriages up to the castle, or we walked. But these giant evergreens were just covered in snow. And there's this like overlook point that you get to before you enter the castle, because they have it open for a tour. And you can take a picture in front of all of these snow-covered trees. It was snow-covered for us, and just seeing like the horse carriages go up there, it honestly felt like a fairy tale. Like, it really truly did feel like a fairy tale. And the inside of the castle is just as impressive. It's a really sad story, actually. So it was a king that lived there and did the whole concept and design of this castle, but he was found dead in his lake. So there's a lake that surrounds the castle. And so no one to this day really knows if it was suicide or someone killed him. Like, no one knows. But basically, they halted the construction after all that. And it's a very elaborate construction inside. Like, his bedroom, from what I could remember, since this was like over 5 years ago now, was like all wood sculptures, like very intricate wood sculptures, like absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, they basically stopped designing everything. And like, I don't know if you're familiar with architecture, like buildings in other cities, especially European cities, sometimes after like an artist or, you know, owner of the home dies, like they'll continue construction or renovations as if they were still here. But that did not happen. They stopped after he passed away, and then they started doing tours. And so, yeah, it was absolutely gorgeous, but kind of just like a very sad story. But to this day, still one of my favorite layovers, of course. Okay, so up next, this is another 2016 layover for me. And I guess 2016 was a big year because I was new to this career. So I feel like when you're new to the job, you make the most of everything. You you are just happy to be anywhere because you're like, this is so fucking dope that I am getting paid to like explore right now. You know what I mean? And so this layover was in Reno, Nevada. And, you know, even just thinking about Reno, it makes me so happy because I feel like a lot of people probably don't like know like why, like what Reno's really about, but it is a casino city and it is like a smaller city. And I feel like a lot of people would never like, oh, well, why would you want to go there when you could be in Vegas? You know what I mean? Like it's, what's the slogan for Reno? I can't think of what it's called. I think it's like America's biggest little city or something. Maybe I'm thinking of another city or something like that. But anyways, so why was this layover memorable? Well, I will tell you. This layover was in August of 2016. Was it in August? Yes. I think it was in July or August. And we were put up right outside of the car show that is out there yearly. I think it's called, man, see, I really should have outlined this episode a little better because I'm like going off memory for these stories and see, I'm starting to like, as I'm talking about it, I'm like, man, this should have been outlined a little better so that I could have remembered. But I think it's called like Hot Summer Nights or August Summer Nights or something like that, but it's a hot rod show. So there was all these dope, like super dope cars that people like fix up and auction right outside my hotel. So that was like one thing that was cool. But the other cool thing about this was the fact that 2016 was the first year I ever went to Burning Man. And so for anyone that's tuning in that doesn't know what Burning Man is, it essentially is a temporary city in the desert, in the Black Rock Desert in Nevada, which is about 3 hours from Reno. And it is basically like an experimental community. The city is built by the people that go there. So the attendees, a lot of people think that it's a festival, but it's way more than a festival. And I don't really consider it a festival because you have to be completely self-reliant, where at a festival, you know, if you forgot food, you could buy food from a vendor. If you forgot something, you can go to a general store. There is none of that at Burning Man. It is complete survival in a very harsh environment of the Black Rock Desert. And basically the entire community functions off of 10 principles. And so that is kind of like my little summary for Burning Man for anyone that is unfamiliar what it is. But basically I was going to be going to my first Burning Man that year, and Reno is not far from there and it's kind of like a little burner city. And so there's some really amazing stores and thrift shops that I got to go to in Midtown. And also I ate at this amazing restaurant that now I go back to every single time. It's called Soup, but it's spelled like sup. It's spelled S-U-P, but it's pronounced soup. And it's kind of just like, you know, local farm fresh soups, salads, and sandwiches. So think of it as like your local, like upscale, like deli, but like way more than a deli. Like that doesn't even sound right. Like think of it as like this delicious, fresh, like sandwich soup shop is the best way to put it. It's just absolutely delicious. So I got to eat there, and then I thrifted at some of my that are now some of my favorite thrift stores. So I go to the Reno Junkie Exchange. They have a lot of hats there. They have a lot of great pieces. I've found pieces there to wear at my friend's wedding. I've just loved going back there. I love their shop. Also across from there, it's kind of diagonal from there, it's called Bad Apple Vintage. I've got some dope shirts from her shop. And yeah, it's just like a fun little city. A lot of the large scale art that is out at Burning Man is throughout Reno, because Reno is kind of like the home city. It's kind of where everyone goes prior to Burning Man and goes to the after parties after Burning Man. And so I got to actually set up, that was another thing I got to do. Like I set up my whole bike rental from the Reno bike exchange. The Reno Bike Exchange is out there. And so I set up a whole bike rental while I was out there. So I kind of just like did some things that prepped me for Burning Man. Also the Mission Hostel. So anyone that knows about the Burner Hostel, I went and visited there. And so the Burner Hostel is amazing because they have theme rooms. Like, there's a whole room that is just a booby room. So everything is boobies. Like, it's like, this is the type of like mentality that Burners have. Everything is artsy. Everything is funny. Everything is whimsical. And so they have like a dragons and mermaids room. They have a booby room. They have, you know, all these different like funny, quirky things. But also they have artists that are building large scale art in the back for the burn. So that's one of the most popular things about Burning Man is the large scale interactive art. And so, yeah, it's just a really amazing city. And it just so happened that I had this long layover there right before my first burn. And it like really just put me in the right spirit and really helped me out, get some things organized for that trip. I also got my first pair of platform shoes there. I'm so tall. I'm 5'8", and I never really thought I would ever wear platforms, but I found these cool reflective platforms. They were the only ones there and they were in my size. And I was like, I just got to get these. And so it was really funny actually coming back from that trip because I had so many bags, you guys. Like, it was bad. Like, it was definitely like had way too many bags than I should have had. But luckily, since I was working crew, I got to bring them all on. Sorry to any passengers that are listening. Don't usually do that. But yeah, that was a really great trip. So we are finally breaking away from 2016 and heading into 2017. Those were some really good layovers, though, for 2016, if I must say myself. But this next one, you guys, this will go down as one of the craziest things I have, one, ever done as a flight attendant, two, that I've ever done probably, period, and three, that I've ever done to get to a music festival. So there was a time back in the day with my company where our contract at the time, as a reserve, you could pick up a trip if you were supposed to be on call. So say I was supposed to be on call for like, you know, 4 days, we were allowed to pick up trips, even if it was a single day trip, even if it was a 2 day trip. Like, you didn't have to pick up a 4 day trip. But if you wanted to pick up a trip that was not covered, that was going into your on call days, and you were coming from a day off, you could pick up a trip. So this might be a little confusing for those of you not in the industry. Scheduling wise, it's a little complex. I don't know if you followed me with that, but basically what happened was I had a day off and I was on call for the next couple of days, and it was a weekend, and there was a trip that popped in with a 19-hour layover in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, since I am a festival addict and music festival enthusiast and completely obsessed with festivals, it was the same weekend as Bonnaroo, which is one of America's largest multi-genre festivals. If you're from the United States, you've probably heard of Bonnaroo. You've probably heard about the parties on the farm. It basically is a very great alternative to Coachella. I feel like a lot of people like to go to Coachella because they have amazing acts. Well, Bonnaroo is also very, very well run with amazing acts from all different genres. And it's on a farm in Manchester, Tennessee, which is only an hour from Nashville. So I bet you could see where this is going. So here's the thing. With the requirements of our old contract, okay, you could go to pick up a trip, but someone else, if they were trying to pick up the trip and they got it before you, like, you had to do it like at the exact second that, I think it used to be like 4 p.m. or something like that. So you had to pick it up at the right time, and like, you had to get it in order to get it. Otherwise, like, say someone else beat me to it, then I wouldn't have had this trip. You get what I mean? So I got it. So it was one flight from where I'm based, which is Newark, down to Nashville. And that's only like a 2 hour flight, and then layover for 20 hours and then fly back. So the catch was I was still available for days after returning to Newark. So as a reserve, like, the company can like reroute you and send you back out. So it was like a risk I was taking to go there and then go to Bonnaroo and then obviously work back. And then they could have like sent me somewhere else, but they didn't, luckily. So anyways, I got down there and before I even had got down there, I text messaged my friend Andrew. So here's one of the benefits of me being within the festival industry so long. I have a lot of connections with vendors and staff and producers and people that run events. I have spoken at a conference called X Live, which is a music festival conference, and I have met a lot of connections there. And so therefore, I became friends with my friend Andrew, who runs a pedicab company. So him and Alexa, who used to be his pedicab operations manager, who both of them became very great friends of mine. They were down there, obviously, running the pedicabs at Bonnaroo. And I hit him up and was like, yo, I just picked up this 19-hour layover in Nashville, and I'm thinking about renting a car and coming to Bonnaroo. Can you help me? He's like, I got you. Meet me at the Walmart. Once you get down, I'll go to Walmart. I got to get food for the camp. So, because he cooks and provides a lot of meals for his bikers. And so he was like, come meet me at the Walmart. I will slap a vendor band on your wrist. I will slap a vendor band sticker on your rental car and you can just drive right in. And that's exactly what happened. I flew down. I told the crew, I was like, I'm going to Bonnaroo. They literally looked at me like, they're like, okay, like looked at me like, are you out of your mind? Like, it's still like to this day, I feel like it's one of the craziest things I've ever done going to a festival. So I did that. I flew there. I went and got my rental car. I rented a Jeep. I'll never forget it. I just remember it. Like some of these layovers, like I feel like I'll never ever forget, obviously, which is why they're my most memorable layovers. But I rented a Jeep. I went to the hotel. I got changed. I had packed all festival gear. I'm lucky I really even got there because like I could have been rerouted and not even got there, but I did. But yeah, I changed into all my festival gear. I drove the hour to Manchester. I met him at the Walmart, got the stuff and went to Bonnaroo for the night and didn't sleep. Obviously, I didn't have a tent or anything with me to sleep anywhere. Obviously, I had to work a flight outbound in the morning. So, and I wanted to make the most of it. So I literally stayed up all night. I drove back to my hotel room in the morning, probably around like 4 or 5 in the morning, something like that. And I got ready. I returned my rental car and I checked in and I worked the flight back. I mean, I was pretty dead, I'm not gonna lie, but nonetheless, I did it. And that is another memorable layover for me. All right, you guys, so we still have aviation news to cover. So I'm going to cut part one right here. Where else could I leave off besides the festival story? I mean, of course, if you follow my YouTube channel, Living by the F Word, you know I am festival obsessed. I am a festival enthusiast. It's one of my biggest passions. You could also tune into episode one of What the Flight Radio, and you will learn all about that just in case you missed it. But yeah, absolutely go check both of those out, my YouTube channel and episode one, if you didn't see it yet or hear it yet. But yeah, also before I get into aviation news, I just want to say happy International Flight Attendant Day. It was a couple days ago at the time of this recording. So I just want to say I love you guys so much. Thank you for all that you do in the skies to keep people safe, to keep the flight deck safe. And especially thank you to all those that make the job a more pleasurable and fun experience as told in many of these layover stories. I love you guys for supporting the show, and I hope you all have a great upcoming week at work. Let's get into aviation news. All right, you guys, here we go. We have some good news for Americans who can now travel to 90 plus countries, including some destinations in South and Central America, such as Belize, Costa Rica, Colombia, Peru, and Brazil, along with various Caribbean islands and some European countries, including the United Kingdom, Ireland, Iceland, Italy, Greece, Croatia, to name a few. Please check out the full list online and be sure to consult the CDC and U.S. State Department guidelines for each individual country. There are also countries that will accept Americans, providing that you have quarantined in a third country. All right. Up next, too, CDC is going to allow big cruise ships to start sailing from U.S. ports in June. This is massive. Obviously, when this episode comes out, we're going to be in, I believe, the second week of June. So some of you may have already known this, but yeah, cruises do bring a lot of airline travel as people want to sail from various locations. So this is great news for the tourism industry. We have Breeze Airways. So for anyone that doesn't know Breeze Airways, this is a new startup company by serial entrepreneur and JetBlue founder David Neeleman. And it's going to take its first flight from Tampa, Florida to Charleston, South Carolina this week. So by the time this episode comes out, it will already be flying, and they're already going to be flying other routes as well. But basically, the Points Guy has an article with 39 updated routes with the focus cities of Tampa, Charleston, Norfolk, Virginia, and New Orleans. So I thought that was really interesting that there's a startup company emerging after COVID. Also, we have Honda. Honda Aircraft has announced that they have a new Elite S model with upgraded avionic capabilities, color schemes, and a 200-pound payload increase, which allows a single pilot with five passengers to fly farther or can choose to take an additional passenger. So basically, this is one of those private jets that you will see. So if there's any aviation friends out there that have their private license, it might be an article worth looking into. That's all I have for you for aviation news this week. I am thinking about mixing this segment up again. So maybe I want to start doing a different segment idea that I have, which would be a crew-to-crew shout-out where crew members can write in about their friends or family that are crew members that they care about. So if you guys are interested in me switching up the segments, or if you like the aviation news, please let me know. Just give me feedback. So far, I think some people like the aviation news, but I don't know how relevant it will be for people that are within the industry. But for the people that are outside the industry, I definitely know that they are liking it. So yes, please keep me up to date. You could always DM me on Instagram, as always, at WT Flight Radio or at Living by the Dot F Word. And you could also email me at radio@livingbythefword.com. This episode was so fucking long. I am out of here, you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Please don't forget to rate it, review it. If you enjoyed it, give it a thumbs up on YouTube. And I will see you next week. Thank you so much for being here with me. I hope this has inspired you to have some amazing future trips this summer. And yeah, I can't wait to see you out there. I will see you in the next video, the next episode, all that good jazz. See you later. Bye.